and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Clopas, answered him, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, What things? And they said to him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scripture to us? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the leaven. And those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I don't know, I just love the post-resurrection accounts of Jesus, the 40 days he's walking about the Judean countryside, no longer held captive to anything, free, alive and kicking, and going about the work that he, as our resurrected Lord, will spend until he comes back to judge the living and the dead. I mean, I just think this is a beautiful, beautiful scene. And I really like the traditional one, but this is a cool one too, where, you know, the disciples are walking back. They've given up hope. They've given up everything. And they're making their slow trek back to where they live. Why stick around? It's not worth it anyway. And so they're just, they've had it. And they're rehearsing over and over again all the bad things that have happened and how everything's been dashed. And they're rehearsing it with each other. And then they get a stranger walking with them, asking them questions. It's fascinating. It's just fascinating. I just love this. And you know, they stood still, looking sad, kind of like Eeyore. How's it going? Not so good. And you know, it's just a story, Winnie the Pooh and Christopher, the companion series and all that. And yet, the disciples really are spiritual Eeyores. I mean, they stopped, looked sad, and Jesus says, What are you talking about? You know, and now they're mad, right? What? You're the only one that doesn't know the news? It's like, gosh, guys, relax, take it easy. I mean, hardly the position of Easter people looking sad and then bawling out a stranger because he doesn't know what they're thinking about and what they've gone through. I mean, you know, clue phone. It's just fascinating. It's fascinating. I mean, you know, this scripture is full of law and full of gospel. I mean, the disciples, they're whipped. Everything's failed, and they're just going home. They're not even sticking around with the rest of the disciples that are still back in Jerusalem. It's the first Easter evening. They've given up already. That's just what the disciples of Jesus do. Why go to church? Why do this? Why say prayers? How many ways do we act the same way as, yes, Eeyore? How's it going? Not so good. I mean, we do that. We do that. And it's not just a storybook lesson or story that we share with our kids. It's the way that we oftentimes live. Hardly the position of Easter people. What's fascinating is Jesus is there. And the good news is that he's alive and kicking. And he is willing to listen to what they're going through. And that's the gospel. That's the good news. I mean, Jesus is doing an awful lot of traveling that first Sunday. Because what's he doing? He's taking care of his Easter people that are more like Eeyores than people celebrating the resurrection. How many times had some of them heard about the resurrection and they're still not giving in to anything but their worry and fear? Hardly the position of Easter people with purpose. And yet that's the way it is oftentimes. I mean, it's fascinating. The good news here is Jesus travels with them and then he's willing to poke the bear. Right? He's willing to ask the question no one else would ask them. I mean, how many people saw these two moping back to their home and thinking, well, stay away from those guys. They're having a bad day, right? And so, you know, Jesus says, what's this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And as I've read probably too many times already, and they stood still looking sad. And then Luke says this. Then one of them, named Clopas, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there these days? It's like, what kind of a loser are you, stranger? I mean, everybody knows what happened. It's like everything fell apart. I mean, talk about a spiritual pandemic, right? I mean, you're the only one that doesn't know what's going on. I mean, they're expecting him to understand why they're all bent out of shape. And he's just asking a question, you know? I mean, it's just fascinating. And then Jesus, you know, I mean, I'm not sure if I'd want to go any further into that after being called a loser, right? How about you? And then here's what happens. And he said to them, this is verse 19. What things? I mean, is that a dangerous thing to say? I mean, now the dam's breaking open, right? I mean, they're concerning. They're just, you know, it's about nonverbal communication, right? They're going home, talking about all the crazy things that happen, and then what? I mean, you're the only one, right? And you know, Mr. Resurrection, acting all innocent, you know, holy and blameless. What things? I mean, he really wants to hear what they have to say. How many people in your life really want to hear what you have to say, right? I mean, it's fascinating. Here he is, resurrected. I mean, go fishing, Jesus. Go climbing a mountain. Go race a Z28 Camaro. Don't talk with these. He wants to talk to them. Isn't that good news? That means he likes talking with us when we're Eeyore. What things? And it's like the dam breaks open. And they, plural, it's like they had the same message. They had rehearsed it enough that they just could all say it like. And they said to him, Luke says, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. It's like, you know, the church even failed. Everything fell apart. The church is a mess, and our leader is dead, and everything's falling apart. You know, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. I mean, do you get it? I mean, the dam's breaking open. He poked the bear one time too many, and they just have to let it all out. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying they had even seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. I mean, can you get it? I mean, they're just having, I mean, it's just all coming out, right? It's like Jesus popped a balloon, and they're just dumping it all out. Okay, who needed to pour it all out? They did. Who was the only one willing on that journey all the way back to Emmaus that was loving enough to let him? And in fact, who was the only one who could have really saved them? It was Jesus. Verse 24, some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. I mean, the resurrection is staring them in the face, and they want nothing of it. All they can settle for is the same old, death is the victor, Jesus is gone, we need to find another Messiah. But at least they had a chance to let it all out. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. How many ways do we drag through the day? How many ways do couples just sound just like them about whatever's going on? How many ways parents, kids, parents? You know, I mean, just think about it. I mean, they're just fit to be tied. It's not going to work. And as much as Jesus is alive and kicking, they don't get it. But are we any different? How many ways do we just don't get it until we get it? Aren't you glad God doesn't give up? I mean, I've had experience in some places as a pastor where I've seen people like Eeyore for years. And then all of a sudden, the Lord gets through. And they got it. And I don't know how many times in my life when I've been Eeyore for a time. How about you? And even if people try to speak truth into me, I can't settle for it. How's it going? Not so good. You know, and then all of a sudden something happens. You take communion. You hear a Bible passage, you know, and you go, oh, yeah. I mean, that's the business Jesus is in. He's coming to our rescue. I just love the season of Easter because it reminds us of what Christ is all about now in your life and my life. And yes, we're going to be Eeyore. Yes, we're going to be drooping. But Easter means Jesus is alive and kicking, and he cares about us. You know, it's not easy to go through the things we go through. And even if no one else understands that, Jesus does. And he lets us talk. He lets us lament. He lets it pour all out because he knows we need to talk and we need an ear that can hear and an ear that can help, and he's the one to do it. That's what makes Easter so wonderful. The ransom has been paid. We have been released from God's wrath and displeasure. We live in the light of his amazing grace. We live in the light of his empty cross and grave. And that means he can come to our rescue, whatever we're going through. And there are places in your life and my life as we go through this pandemic that just make so little sense. There are challenges that just come a-knocking. I mean, that's the way life is. And we're tempted to give in and give up and wonder where God is. And he's on his way. He might even be with us, just listening to us, until we finally get it all off of our heart and mind, and then he's willing to say, okay. But don't be surprised if he doesn't chide you a little bit. Not to hurt you, but to make you realize, what was I thinking? Why was I drooping? You know, so Luke records, and he said to them, after they poured it all out, right? After they just unloaded all on him, he says, oh, foolish of heart. Oh, foolish of heart. And, well, oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart, ESV, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Rhetorical question. You know, how many times do you suppose they heard that? Oh, yeah, I forgot again. And beginning, and then Luke, so then Luke makes the comment. So he adds this. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So who was now pouring all the cure back into his heart, into their hearts and minds that they needed? And so they get to the village of Emmaus. He pretends like he goes, oh, stay with us. Okay, I'll stick around. And then he has communion. And their eyes are open. And they say, my goodness, weren't our hearts burning when we were on the road listening to him? I mean, at first, they were all but dead on arrival, right? And then Jesus brought them to a place they had no idea they could ever be. Gosh, that's my life. That's your life. How many ways has Jesus done it, and we're not the wiser for it? He just does it. And yet there are places in your life, in my life, where we look back and go, Lord Jesus, you were there. But see, that's his purpose. That's what he loves to do in your life and my life. That's what it's about. But notice, you know, most of communication is nonverbal in tone, right? So here's, just look at the trip. This is the trip that oftentimes you'll take and I'll take, just like they took, you know. How's it going, right? Not so good, right? But think about it, you know. And then they stop and they're sad. How many ways has that happened to us? And then, you know, Jesus starts asking us to talk to him, right? And he starts talking to us. And I mean, think about it. Think about the trip to Emmaus. And then what happened? It's like everything changed. How quick was it back to Jerusalem? How different was the trip back than the trip going? Just totally different. It's like they're more alive. I mean, they're happy, they're filled with joy. There's more to do. And that's what Jesus does. In fact, there's a hymn that I just love our Easter hymns too. There's a hymn. I mean, I know it's 8 stanzas, so it's kind of long to sing. But it's just a beautiful hymn, 461. I just love the hymn, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. 641, if you have a hymn book at home and you want to look at it, 641. I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. He lives who once was dead. He lives my ever-living head. Thank you, Jesus. And because the head is awake and alive, the body is being nourished as well. Verse 2. He lives triumphant from the grave. He lives eternally to save. He lives all glorious in the sky. He lives exalted there on high. King of kings, Lord of lords. He lives, stanza 3, to bless me with his love. Thank you, Jesus. He lives to plead for me above. He prays for me. Thank you, Jesus. He lives my hungry soul to feed. Thank you, Jesus. He lives to help in time of need. Thank you, Jesus. He lives to grant me rich supply. He lives to guide me with his eye. He lives to comfort me when faint. He lives to hear my soul's complaint. He lives to hear it. Thank you, Jesus. He lives to silence all my fears. He lives to wipe away my tears. He lives to calm my troubled heart. Thank you, Jesus. He lives all blessings to impart. He lives my kind, wise, heavenly friend. He lives and loves me to the end. He lives, and while he lives, all sing. He lives, my prophet, my priest and king. Thank you, Jesus. He lives and grants me daily breath. Thank you, Lord. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. He lives, all glory to his name. He lives, my Jesus, still the same. Oh, the sweet joy this sentence gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. I mean, that's what our Savior, resurrected, is all about. And while this hymn draws from a number of places in Scripture, it springs from Job chapter 19. And Job faced quite a pandemic. He lost so much. He was tested and tried in so many ways. But in chapter 19, verse 23, he says this: "Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Job knew that even after he was buried and disintegrated into dust, he would be reassembled. The resurrection isn't a New Testament thing. It comes all the way back in the Old Testament. And Job knew that he would see Jesus one day standing on the earth. And even now, that Jesus is coming to our rescue, drawing us out of our bondages, rescuing us, giving us the assurance that we are ransomed. It's done. We're free. And setting us on all kinds of different courses of purpose across our life. We're Easter people. And we're Easter people having purpose to live. No longer with these kind of trips. I mean, how many have we had? Not only to say, "What are you?" Instead of having a bad word to share with even strangers, we have a message to share. We have a message to share with the people in our homes, people in our neighborhoods. We have a message to share with one another. It won't always be popular, but it'll be the message that can change lives that nothing else can. To plant seeds of hope where there is no hope. Because that's what Easter people are about. And we even can give to Jesus our complaints and cast all of our anxiety upon him, knowing that he cares for us. We can do this. We can do this. Easter is what happens to us because Jesus is Easter. We have a Paschal candle, the Easter candle, the Christ candle. And Jesus is Easter. It's what happens to us. And so as Easter happens to us, as Jesus happens to us, we learn more and more to walk with the purpose of Easter, knowing that Jesus is at work through us. Jesus is at work through you. Church deployed, church scattered, church gathering online through our live stream, to hear the word of God, to be encouraged by God in his word of truth. I mean, we are being bombarded with all kinds of words, and some of them are just hurting us. But Christ gives us the word that gives us life and unites us and revives us and gives us purpose. Not only that, but Jesus is now our constant companion, walking with us. Sometimes we're aware of it. Sometimes we say, "Oh, I didn't know you were with me. Thanks for tagging along. I've got some challenges I need to pour out in prayer." But it's nice to know that we have a constant companion who lives to love us to the end. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.